Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso, recording in our studio in the East County Wellness Center here in El Cajon. My very special guest today is Frank Simbukakis, and Frank is running for the 38th State Senate District against incumbent Senator Joel Anderson. Frank, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I should state that we have invited Senator Anderson as well, and we have not heard back from him. We certainly hope that he'll agree to appear, but thus far he has not agreed to appear in any debates or
challenge me in any debates. He has been invited by the League of Women Voters and by a couple of other groups that just wanted to put us on a forum, not debate style, where we can answer questions. So, as they say at my church, he's avoiding like the devil avoids the cross.
Well, our view at East County Magazine is that when we have situations where one candidate, for whatever reason, chooses not to be available, we don't think that the voters should be deprived of hearing from the other candidate. And so we're very glad, Frank, that you agreed to join us today.
Thank you.
Now, Frank is in some ways an American success story. He's an immigrant from Greece who came here in 1977. He got his master's in business administration from National University. He also attended San Diego Community Colleges and has a degree in mass communications and sociology from UC Berkeley. He worked himself through college and later made his living working for a little while in the beer industry, I understand, for Budweiser. And these days he's been managing an investment portfolio of securities and real estate and has served as an elected board member on two nonprofits as well.
Yes, I served 4 years, twice elected, at my Greek community church, where I managed the finances along with another team. I was the treasurer for two of those years, and I was known as the hawk. I also got elected as a first vote getter at my homeowners association at Sky Ranch in Santee, where upon moving in, I decided I wanted to lower the the fees, and they went from 508 we were paying at the day we moved in to 187.31 as of this month, and it was 99% due to my effort.
Now, interestingly, you've stated that if elected, you would donate 50% of your salary. Can you tell us what prompted that and where you would donate it to?
Yes. It prompted it that in my whole career, I liked to do what I felt comfortable doing and I enjoyed. I wasn't really big on wearing ties. And therefore, I never made more than $51,000 as an employee for the various companies I worked for. However, I managed to manage my money very well and end up where I'm at. So half of the salary of a state senator is about $47,000, $48,000. Plus, you have the per diem, which is about $29,000 a year if you attend every meeting. So I would still be taking half the pay, more than I made before. So obviously, I don't need the money. I'm doing it because I want to make this place better. And I want to donate it to what I believe the most in, and that's safety and education. So I would donate it evenly amongst schools in my district, fire departments, and police stations in my district.
Well, I know that would be greatly appreciated, I'm sure, by many of the taxpayers across East County. Now, you've also stated that you would not accept gifts in office and that you would commit to hold at least 8 public meetings a year with the citizens in your district.
Well, actually, I didn't accept gifts when I worked in the beer industry for 20 years because I didn't want to be obligated to anyone. I paid my way through. I will have actually 2 meetings a month for 11 of the 12 months. I think July is a good month to give people the time off and myself time off. So I would do 22 meetings a year, 4 hours for legislative advising and 4 hours where I would bring in local attorneys to advise people that face hardship, economic or financial.
Very good. So tell us why you decided to run for the state Senate, Frank.
Well, about a year and a half ago, there was a process going on to build a power plant in Santee, the Quail Brush power plant. Right. So I got involved near the end of it, and I opposed it. I also noticed that every East County legislator, regardless of political affiliation, opposed it, except for Joel Anderson. He didn't even send a letter in opposition. So I looked back. He didn't oppose the Quail Brush power plant, and he also didn't oppose the Sunrise Power Link.
That's correct, as well as he has not opposed many of the large-scale industrial wind and industrial solar facilities that
correct.
Many of his constituents have raised concerns about and asked him to oppose.
So when he did this, I started thinking, you know what, somebody needs to run against this guy because he doesn't really care about East County. Now, nobody was willing to step up, and I started researching him. And the more I researched, I'm looking and I'm finding things. This guy has been for all throughout the 90s. He hasn't really been a savvy.
Yeah, he had a number of tax liens, both state and federal, back in the 90s, and that included both business liens and at least one personal lien.
Correct. The personal was satisfied. The other ones were never satisfied. The company just closed out. But he bragged that he had $1 million business. And I don't know how you're successful when you close down a business or you don't pay your taxes.
Yeah, he's called himself a tax writer. Actually, that's kind of been
ironic.
The moniker he uses.
And then I looked when he got elected to Padre Dam, which is, East County is a close-knit community. If you're good friends with a bunch of the churches in a local area, you're able to get elected. And hopefully you'll do the right thing. He didn't. He raised expenses at Padre Dam, $21.3 million. Padre Dam is a small water utility, and he really didn't do a lot besides raising the fees.
Yeah.
Correct. He also, I found out from one of the gentlemen that was on the board, he also tried to sell the Santee Lakes to KOA. Apparently, hardly anybody in Santee knew about it, or the word didn't get out.
And so he wanted it to become a privately owned company?
Correct. Well, he's in speaking with some Republican personalities in East County, I discovered they consider him more of a libertarian than they consider him a Republican. However, in East County, you're most likely not to be elected unless you're registered as a Republican.
Right. I would like to circle back to the energy issues.
Yes.
Now, Joel Anderson actually had to give back a number of donations and was fined for campaign finance violations in a couple of
2009,
years.
He paid back $148,000 in donations and $20,000 in fines. The maximum fine per violation was $5,000. He paid $4,000 for each one of them.
Right. For those who may not be familiar or forgotten, what happened was there were some large donations from tribes, from, I believe it was SDG&E. The Hammond companies and the Hammond family, which owns a lot of property for these large energy projects, incidentally, in East County. And they had given money to a Republican Central Committee in another county, Fresno County, which in turn funneled the money into Anderson's campaign.
After getting a cut.
In excess of the amounts that you're allowed to donate.
Correct.
And so that was basically illegal, according to the FPPC. Anderson never admitted wrongdoing, but did give the money back.
And paid the fines.
And paid the fines,
And yes. He got elected. That was the tragic part. Right after that came out, he got elected into the state senate. The big mainstream media in San Diego County has ignored this race. This race represents almost 1 million people.
Yeah.
And it's the small publications in East County that have tried to do the right thing. And the big companies, the big media is not picking it up because they're not interested.
I would like to talk some more about energy issues. Now, he has a long history of taking money from SDG&E and the Hammond companies and then not taking stances against the energy projects that the majority of his constituents in many of these towns oppose.
Yeah.
So I would like to ask you, Frank, what are your views about some of the controversial energy projects in East County, including not only the power plant you've mentioned,
mm-hmm.
but also some of the large-scale wind and solar projects that are proposed out here? What is your general philosophy for alternative energy and specifically on any of these large projects?
Well, I think the easiest way to do it and pump up the economy and make everybody happy is rooftop solar. Right now, rooftop solar is the equipment has come down in price, but the installations have not. I've spoken to the Board of Supervisors, and I think Diane Jacob agrees with me on a lot of those issues, about not building farms, solar farms, and wind farms in East County. Instead, working with a consortium of cities or the county and negotiating with certain solar installers, where they streamline the operations, eliminate some of the permit fees for senior citizens, for example, that can afford mm-hmm. that extra $500, and then working where they can put rooftop solar in every house. What this will do is, if they bring down the repayment period, the 4 or 5 years versus about 10 that it is right now for what it costs, then what will happen is all these homeowners that will have their own energy produced will not require any more power plants in the area, number one. And number two, it will free up money in their pockets to spend in the local economy. In addition, because you probably have 150,000 homes that would require this, you'll have work installing solar panels for the next 5 to 10 years in the area, which means it'll pump up the economy in decent paying jobs.
Right. And it also means that if you put the solar and the energy where the power is being used in the urban areas and the suburban areas, then you don't have to have the environmental damage and the potential health hazards and fire hazards and so forth posed by these remote large-scale energy projects.
There's a power plant in Escondido that's right by Palomar College that they just increased its power last year, since they didn't want to build another power plant. That will cover about 130,000 to 150,000 homes. If you put solar in all those homes, then you really don't need any power plants like that, which require fracked natural gas, and a lot of people don't know what fracking does.
Right.
Though it burns clean, you know, its production costs water, it costs environmental damage. So we're trying to eliminate a lot of issues by taking care of one problem.
Yeah, speaking of water, that's one of the issues you mention on your flyer that you believe is an important issue for California.
Very big.
What are your views on the water situation for California and San Diego County specifically?
I believe in economies of scale. San Diego County has 24 water districts. 21 of them are doing their own water billing. In a meeting about 3 months ago with the water district, Sweetwater Water District, Helix, and Padre Dam, to which I belong, and it's probably the most expensive water district in San Diego, I asked the question, what's the optimal size for a water district? And they said 50 to 55,000 meters, customers. Padre Dam has about 22,000. Both Sweetwater and Mount and Helix Water District have about 55,000, and they're two of the cheapest ones around, and Padre Dam is one of the most expensive. Padre Dam that Joel Anderson used to run in the mid-2000s. So I said to Mr. Carlos Lugo, I asked one question, why don't you guys merge with them? I mean, you're interacting in the same neighborhoods, and he says, we don't want them, they have debt.
And Carlos Lugo is with Helix Water.
He's the director of the of Helix Water District. And I said, you don't have? He says, no. And I said, well, that's where the state government needs to come in, clean up those books, and eliminate some of these duplicate water districts like Rancho Santa Fe. There's some water districts that have, 5,000 or 7,000 people. And what happens is you have paid boards, even though it's per diem, you have paid managers. And a lot of these companies, and Padre Dam in particular, because I look at their finances, they're now outsourcing a lot of their repair work. Well, what's the difference? If you eliminate the administrators, you save a lot of money.
Yeah, we've also seen some really big problems with some of the backcountry water districts, such as Live Oak Springs, that was actually taken into a receivership. There was so much wrongdoing that the state found on the part of the folks running that one. Yeah. I mean, including things like falsifying health tests on the
water. It's hard to find enough competent people.
Illegally selling water to developers that was supposed to be drinking water for the people in the district.
You know, it's hard to find enough capable and honest people to run certain administrative units, let alone keep expanding. I mean, considering it's East County and this is a conservative county, I would think that they want to streamline some of the operations. And that's why some people wonder, and Diane Jacob asked me, she goes, how are you a Democrat and not a Republican? And I said, look, I am open on social issues and education, I said, unlike Republicans, I said, but on fiscal issues,
so
trust me.
You would say your views are a little more progressively on social issues.
I think she understood that maybe not as much as what I claim, that I'm a magician with money, with numbers, because I didn't have a lot growing up, so I needed to learn how to do a lot of things with very little, and we can do this.
Let's talk about those who don't have a lot today. You have told us that you are successful in life. As you mentioned, financially, you're secure. You've told me you're a two percenter.
Yes.
But there's an awful lot of people in East County living below the federal poverty line who aren't even in the top 99%.
Correct.
How would your approach to those folks, the have-nots out there, the poor and the middle class, differ from your opponents? What message would you have for those?
I honestly think Joel, and I've looked at how he votes on the legislation, he is a Darwinist, survival of the fittest. They asked me, why am I a Democrat and not a Republican? And I said, look, the Republicans think the playing field of opportunity is level. And as all of us know, we're not all the same. Nature, God hasn't built us all the same physical ability, the same mental ability. So the playing field of opportunity is not level. It has a lot of speed bumps, sometimes hillsides. And I'm trying to level it off. And I thought Democrats are doing a much better job trying to level it off. Once it's level, I think we can be as one. We'll never be perfect, otherwise we'd have an anarchical society, which some people don't understand. But, you know, I want to make the poor people come up. And how do you do this? One, you fight for maybe better pay and some better benefits. But there's another way to do it. You fight for cutting the cost of their expenses. And I'll give you a simple example. I don't have any power over it, but I was talking with Scott Peters' assistant. He's in Congress. The cable industry, the internet industry, they're regulated by the federal government. They got protected territories, yet, you know, as their customer base expands, they keep raising their, you know, their charging, right? So the average house now spends $300 a month to have good internet, cable television, and watch a few channels. Well, if you were to lower the fees, since they're protected, and give a household a $100 a month cut, or if you were to merge the water districts and you save on administrative expenses and a house can have their costs cut by a couple hundred dollars a month, it's $1.30 an hour pay raise without giving them a pay raise. I mean, we solve a lot of problems. How do we do it? Minimum wage. You have a minimum wage, put it on automatic pilot, just like Social Security. Its cost of living increases every year. The business people can plan for it because they know what's coming. Nobody complains about Social Security going up by the rate of inflation. Why should they complain? Rents go up, insurance goes up, everything goes up.
Education has historically been one way for people to lift themselves out of poverty, but the cost of it has gone sky high in California, up and up and up. The governor just vetoed a bill that would have put more money into the state college and the UC system. And, of course, federal loans, student loans, have also gotten to be staggering. What are your views on public education, and particularly, do you have ideas for making higher
Yes.
education affordable once again for Californians?
Yes. All the researchers show that for every dollar spent on education, we get a return of $4.6. That's 460%. And let me tell you something, even in the best, unless you're a very inside connected hedge fund manager, you don't make 460% in your money, if you're honest. So I think we need to focus as the primary part of the state, education along with safety. If you look around, the best neighborhoods in California are the ones that offer the best schools and the highest safety. So that's what I tell people. It's the number one defense mechanism for declining home prices, for crime. I like to make higher education, junior colleges, and the four-year public colleges tuition-free. For up to 5 years, not forever.
I'm sure there's a lot of students out there who love that.
For long-term California residents. What this will do is it will take the serious students that may have to work a little bit. It'll eliminate perhaps the need of working to pay for school because they will no longer have that big bill.
Where would you get the money to do that, Frank?
The money is very little. The way I calculated for long-term California residents, it was about $400,000. In California between the two UC and CSU schools and 2.1 million students for community colleges. Mm-hmm. Altogether, it would be less than $5 billion. It's about $3.8 billion for the four-year educational systems. And if you kick out the financial aid, which is $1.3 to $1.4 billion, you have $2.5 billion. I suggest doing it over a 10-year period. Declining the tuition by 10% a year, so it's a smooth transition. And what you do is you find that $400-500 million a year on a $155 billion budget, it's peanuts, and you bring it up. We have to remember 1981, the UC system alone, with nine campuses then, has 10 now, the UC system was getting 5.05% of the state budget. It's getting now 2.81%.
Yeah, it's been cut in half.
Just restoring that 2%, it's $3 billion a year. You made tuition free. And again, just undergraduates and just California residents. You've been here 4 years or more. Your parents paid to build those freeways, to build those buildings. God bless you. You should have no tuition. You go past 5 years, you're going to pay $30,000 like out-of-state students. We need to streamline the process. I like that term, streamline. Simplify things and organize them so people know what's coming up, what it'll cost, and they plan accordingly.
Well, you've certainly crunched the numbers, Frank, and done a lot of research on the subject. I would like to know if you have ideas also on improving the local economy, and specifically, do you have any ideas for bringing good-paying jobs to this district, including East County?
Yes. I read a comment by John Minto, who I actually kind of like, you know, in the Santee...
Santee Councilman.
Councilman. And he said he'd like to make Santee even better and keep it close to good-paying jobs. And I said, no, we need to bring the good-paying jobs here. It was on the Santee Chamber of Commerce flyer where they have all the statements, which was kudos to them for putting them together. Anyway, Santee has plenty of undeveloped land. Ramona has plenty of undeveloped land. Look at Poway. Poway brought in industry. General Atomics has probably 15, 16 buildings. These are well-paid jobs.
A lot of biotech up there, too.
Correct. But GA has become the biggest employer over there. And I know because my wife works for GA, and I was surprised at the expansion of the place over the last 10 years. And they keep buying property. And what happens is these people that work there, they spend money in the economy, even if they live somewhere else. Just the lunchtime business is a lot. So this is what we need to negotiate with the Qualcomms that are looking in Chula Vista. We need to negotiate with a 3D printer that's in North County that's looking for a place to expand. Santee has room. Santee has land. El Cajon only has 5 acres of developable land, but they have places around Gillespie Field that they can use. They're used for junk business. They can use them for biotech technology. We have to give them some incentives. We can work into the incentives that if they come to our area, maybe they hire a portion of their personnel from this area. This will alleviate traffic on the freeways. This will bring up the values of homes in East County. This will cut transportation time, cut pollution. I mean, there's 100 benefits. All we have to do is give them some kind of incentive. New York has done it. 10 years, no property taxes. Well, we're not New York, but you know what? State of California needs to step up and do something like this.
Very good. I'd like to talk for a moment about civil liberties. Joel Anderson, as you've mentioned, is a sort of a libertarian-leaning Republican. Typically, that wing of the party is fairly staunchly for protecting our civil liberties from things like government spying on our emails and drones.
Interesting.
Keeping an eye on us.
There was a bill that actually, I was disappointed, Jerry Brown vetoed. This was a Republican bill, Gorell. He's an assemblyman, AB 1327. It passed with bipartisan support. Brian Jones supported it. East County legislators that are voting up there supported it, except for Joel Anderson. This bill was to regulate drone flying, not just by police, but also by private companies. And I understand Barona uses their own drones, and they're a big donor into Joel's campaign. Regulate what they can research, how long they can keep the records after 1 year if they're not used for any criminal prosecution from the sheriff's department. They have to be discarded because otherwise they stay forever and they fall into the wrong hands. And he voted against it while he's been saying earlier this year with Ted Lieu they want to regulate federal drones on that bill. I think it's SB 898. So I don't understand, and now I understood why he voted against it, because the California Sheriff's Association that endorsed him is against it.
Very interesting. East County is home to over 40,000 Iraqi immigrants. And certainly Iraq has been much in the news with the hostilities over there, the slaughter that the terrorists from ISIL are imposing upon the people of Iraq and Syria. There's been a lot of talk both in Congress and even the state legislature about how that issue should be addressed. Congress obviously has the say-so and the president on how this will be handled in Iraq, but there's also been a lot of talk about whether perhaps the cap should be lifted on refugees, whether more humanitarian aid should be sent over there, whether a safe haven should be created in Iraq. And Senator Anderson did author a resolution in Sacramento calling on Congress to take action to help some of the Iraqi refugees. To the degree that you would have some input on that as a state legislator, what are your views about what should be done?
Well, I was surprised that state resolution, SJR, State Joint Resolution 17, was passed. I find it racist, straight up. Anybody take the time to read it, they will see. He says in one paragraph that Senator Joel Anderson, who wrote the resolution, says there's about 33 million people in Iraq of different ethnic groups. 1% of them, according to his, are persecuted. We all know it's more than that. There's Shiite Muslims that are getting killed by these Sunni fanatics. the Yazidis, the Christians, the Jews, the Mahais. There's six or seven different tribes. I'm just mentioning the big ones. So this resolution goes on in a paragraph and only requests the expansion of the admittance or the elimination of the quotas for the Christians. What are the other ones? Are they orphans? Are the Jews orphans? Are the Yazidis orphans? What are they? They don't have a soul. Are they not persecuted? So I was bothered by that. Second, I was bothered because I thought that's not a bright idea. We cannot just walk away from problems. You need to resolve them, and we need to help them resolve it. Everybody who's followed the news, they know that ISIL or ISIS, they started around 8,000 or 9,000 terrorists. Now there may be 20,000 terrorists. We need to help the Kurds to protect their territory. We have to give them the right arms. We have to give them the help to protect their territory. And we also need to do the continuous bombings. I don't think we need to put troops there, and I don't think we need to do a massive airlift. If these 600,000 people came in this country and they were mostly Chaldean Christians, a large portion would end up in San Diego County. East County, mm-hmm. between 40 and 60,000. This would double the population. The issue is not that it'll double the population, is that these people, they don't speak the language in the vast majority. They don't have the skills that are marketable here. They will be refugees. And in a city, especially El Cajon, where 30% of the people live below the poverty level and the economy is struggling, El Cajon has 47,000 household income, Santee's at 67,000. Yes. It's not going to help anything, including themselves. You don't just walk away. Northern Ireland, Ireland and England, they have the same issue for 80 years, right? Mm-hmm. Ireland didn't just say, okay, we'll take our Northern Irish people, the Catholics, we'll take them back, and everything is resolved. This is not how you solve problems. And I don't know if you can ever exterminate the ISIS people, those fanatics. They will always be there. Anybody who doesn't understand faith-based fanaticism, they need to read history. Yeah. So I don't think the resolution was right. I don't think bringing 600,000 people here is right. I mean, they would go in Detroit. That's a bankrupt city. They would come to San Diego. They would go to Phoenix. They would go to Memphis. They would go to San Jose, where the big communities are. And humanitarianly, we'll be fine.
So However, you're okay with sending humanitarian aid over there?
Humanitarian. We need to arm the people over there. The U.S. is not arming the Kurds because Turkey doesn't want the Kurds to be armed because they think they're going to have an insurrection against them like they've been fighting them for years. And Turkey's our friend. Well, guess what? You need to face reality and know that eventually Kurdistan needs to have its own country. So you got to arm them and you got to work with them to solve problems. We're paying the mistakes of the British Empire, 1921, Winston Churchill, with a Balfour deal down in Egypt where they divided the area and everybody got the short end of the stick. Israel got it, Palestinians got it, Iraqis got it. But now we're being called to solve these problems. Lifting a million people from there, bringing them here, is not solving anything.
What else would you like our listeners to know, Frank, about your campaign or the issues in Sacramento that we may not have already touched on today?
Okay, the number one thing is campaign finance reform. I've had about $12,000. Two-thirds of that in my fundraising, two-thirds of that has come from myself, and the rest has come from residents, many from El Cajon, many not Democrats. Joel has collected over the years over $1 million, and 95% of it has come from PACs, from insurance companies, from casinos. He takes the limit from tobacco companies. Again, this year, he took the limit from tobacco companies, so there is no regulation. I smoked for 40 years. I don't like cigarettes. I think they would have been limited. I worked with the city of El Cajon. When they asked me, I gave them some information along with other citizens, and they passed what's the golden rule for e-cigarette regulation, and they should be proud of it. And it had nothing to do with political affiliation. Falconer said something last year. For a lot of the problems, there's one way to solve it. There is no Democratic or Republican way. You do it or you don't do it. And, you know, East County has been totally deprived because we have legislators like Brian Jones, that votes no a lot. Anderson votes no 98% of the time. And any time you vote no and you don't work with anyone, when you go ask for something, they'll say nope. This is human reaction. You have to work as a team player. I think this is the first time in 20 years that I remember that East County has the opportunity to have three challengers, two Democrats, one Republican, that are immensely more successful and qualified in their personal lives than the three sitting incumbents and have the ability to do much more work and better quality work than what East County has gotten and deserves.
Okay. We have been speaking with Frank Tsimbukakis, listeners, if you tuned in late today, who is a candidate for the state Senate running against incumbent Senator Joel Anderson. Frank, I want to thank you very much for joining us. And also, can you let our listeners know if they want to get in touch with you or find out more about you, where can they get that information?
The best way is my site. My campaign site is Fotios, F as in Frank, O-T-I-O-S, for Senate38.com. I'm also on Facebook, and I think those are the two best places.
Okay, very good. And again, we have invited Senator Joel Anderson to join us on the show as well. We certainly hope that he will accept the invitation, and if he does, we'll look forward to speaking with him as well. Meanwhile, Frank, I want to thank you very much for joining us here today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ.
Don't forget to vote, please. Exercise your power. Vote. Thank you.